Forever You Are Faithful. Sang that song too, didn't we? Have you noticed in the media this week that simple events get sensationalized? Now, I know that one event that I want to talk about went way out of hand and somebody died because of it, committed suicide in England. But putting that to one side for a moment and going back to the beginning of the week, the Duchess of Cambridge went into hospital with morning sickness. And the paparazzi had a field day describing what most women, not all, but what most women go through in the normal course of pregnancy. I can see some of you smiling. It's true, isn't it? But all of a sudden, the headlines are, crisis! The Duchess has gone into hospital. Now, as I understand it, this word crisis, and please, if there are, I know there are quite a few Mandarin-speaking people here, but in Mandarin it can be translated or used to have the term rapid unexpected change. Rapid unexpected. Hang on to that thought for a moment. A crisis is a rapid unexpected change. And as we heard from SP several weeks ago, when he was talking about the letter to the Hebrews, he said that it was primarily written to Jewish converts who were familiar with the Old Testament. They were being tempted to go back into Judaism or Judaize the gospel. And so, as a backdrop today, we're going to be using history and crisis and change as we look at this. Time, in fact, as a gauge. Yes, he also went back in time, if you remember what he said. But I want to just very, and I'm not going to repeat anything that he said, but if we go back in on a timeline to when, before the beginning of time, God had a plan. And suffice to say, God's plan for His creation was to have a relationship with them. And we all know it went wrong when Adam and Eve did their thing in the garden. And part of the plan was to recapture that relationship. And so broadly the plan was to reconcile simple mankind to Himself. Now the Old Testament saw this starting to unfold through holy men and women of God and through a people that God had chosen for Himself, the Jews. And then a crisis. Wasn't a crisis for God because He already had it planned. But then a crisis. Jesus Christ enters into history. The entering of Christ Jesus 2,000 years ago was a sudden, not to God, and rapid, unexpected change. Perhaps some of the Jews that are receiving this letter to the Hebrews already knew that their people were expecting the Messiah. But it was change. It was change. And this crisis wasn't quite the same as when the Duchess of Cambridge went to hospital. You see, this crisis, Jesus coming into the history of mankind, was real news. Amen? It was real news. Didn't even get a mention on the 6 o'clock Jewish news. The old Jewish ways were now being revealed in the final stage of God's plan, in the appearing of His one and only begotten Son. Now, I'm using my hands a lot. I was talking to Kevin yesterday, our pastor upstairs, and he says, how am I going to get him upstairs talking to the Hmong with all these, my waving of arms? Because if you've seen Kevin preach, he does it more than I do. But I remember just digressing one day, I went to watch him or listen to him preach over in a school on the north side when he was pastoring an Alliance church on the north side. And there was a fan on the ceiling directly above where he was preaching. And every time he put his hands up, I thought, oh, fingers are going. But he knew, he practiced a lot. He knew that there was that much gap between his fingers and the fan. That's by the by. But you know, the last part of God's plan was revealed when Jesus Christ came into history. Where the goalposts over the years had been set in place, you know, when you mark out a football pitch of any type to set it up from scratch, you get the goalposts ready to lift up and drop into the hole. And when you drop them into the hole, you have braces on them to keep them firm while you fill the hole in with concrete, or with, in this case, concrete. And so where the goalposts had already been set throughout time up until when Christ came, they were now actually set in concrete, never to be moved again. Some Jews embraced this, embraced Jesus as the Messiah, after being taught the gospel by some early believers. They knew their history well, these people that this letter is written to. They knew their history well, and when the gospel was preached to them and they were taught about Jesus, it fitted like a glove, and they embraced it. Earning their salvation was now a thing of the past. But sadly though, as we know from what S.P. said and what we read in this book, sadly, and this is why the book of Hebrews was written, some converts were trying to dig up those goalposts, to dig up the concrete slabs that held them in place, and reverting to their old religion. There's been more sensationalism this week as well in the news. Wait for it. Israel Falau. In 4 years, what are you laughing at, Kenneth? In 4 years, this guy has changed from rugby league to Aussie rules, and now he's going to rugby union. In 4 years. Here's a man that keeps digging up the goalposts to suit himself. I hope you're hanging in there with me this morning. If you have come to Christ, be it recently or a long time ago, your goalposts are set in concrete. Or perhaps, maybe, I don't know, for some of us, the events of the world, the events happening round about us, are causing us to get our spades out and try to start digging again. Whatever your history was prior to knowing Christ, and for some here it lies in other religions, I know that, you will from time to time be tempted to go back. If that's your case this morning, this message is for you. We begin today with verse 7. Remember. The word that pops up is remember in this verse. I wonder, what's your memory like? I'm getting old, so mine's getting worse all the time. I do try to remember all very important aspects of the gospel. But I'm forgetting other things too. You can ask my wife if you want proof of that. And so as I get older, I perhaps have filtered out some insignificant details that don't really mean a lot to me anymore, but I hang on to those truths of the gospel. And in this verse it says, remember your leaders. It was these godly men that spoke and lived into the lives of these Jews. And they taught the final part of God's eternal plan to these men and women. The gospel. Now, is the writer saying, remember these men, or is he saying, remember what they taught you and remember how they lived with you and in front of you? Of course, it's the latter. That he's saying, remember what they taught you. Remember how they lived it out. And in their teaching to the Hebrews, these men would have perhaps had seminars, much like Roger and a few others conduct upstairs on a Sunday morning. I can imagine it as being entitled God's Plan Finalized. And then with love and joy and excitement, they taught and they lived the important message of the gospel. They would have taught that God loves the world. We've heard about that this morning. They would have taught that he sent his only son to die on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins. They would have taught about grace and mercy. They would have taught opposed to works. They would have taught about faith, about love, about forgiveness of sin, about repentance, about righteousness in Christ, about the character of God in Christ, about holiness, about loving your enemy, about giving, about healing, and all of those things that we embrace in Christ. They would have been taught. And each one of those truths was like mixing a bucket full of concrete, if you like, and tipping it in to secure the goalpost. Because this was it. This was it. God's eternal plan was now in their lives. There have been many godly men over the centuries that have taught and lived out the gospel. I remember with great joy those, and you might want to put on your notice, someone that's taught you a lot. But I remember several men from my life. The guy that led me to the Lord was Reverend Larry Kerry in 1981. I remember him well. Some of you know Reverend John Barkman. He had been put into my life. David Stewart, the principal of the Bible college we went to. Alistair Clark and Frank Marshall are friends of mine. And of course, Roger. And there have been many more. I ask you today to fill in your notes the name of someone that has spoken and lived out the Word of God to you. More importantly, and this is where the rubber hits the road, do you remember the truths that they gave you? The writer places great emphasis on this. In fact, he tells them to imitate their leaders, their teachers. That is, to copy them, to be like them. Why? and this is the crunch. Why are they to copy someone who has taught the gospel, who has lived out the gospel? Because after the gospel of Christ, there is nothing else. It's God's plan completed. Now, we, in the Alliance, we our fourth statement says Christ is our coming King. But if you don't know Christ, you won't know your coming King. This, when Christ, when the gospel is preached, it's the end of God's eternal plan. There's nothing else. And if they don't hang on to this final part of God's plan, there is no hope for them. And I trust today that you are hanging on to that final part of God's plan. Jesus Christ, the gospel of salvation. God changes not. Verse 8. If I was to ask you the question, do you like to embrace change in your lives? Most of you would say yes. And I know this is true because I look around. Now, put your hand up if you haven't got a phone with a camera on it. One person. Two. Way! I won't ask you some Facebook. Those things are evident to me who are here today. And so it continues. All these things are social changes in our lives right now. You don't have to look at someone. You don't look them in the eye to speak to them anymore. I don't have it, but it's all on a little gadget. You don't have to form a real relationship with another human being. Just type it in. Talking to each other on the new media, whilst I'm not criticising it, has replaced the number one relationship ingredient, and that is personal presence. Amen? Now, what about other changes that are irrelevant? Those are some of the social changes. There are other changes happening that are totally irrelevant. Totally irrelevant. I was walking through Browns Plains shopping centre the other day, not watching where I was going, but you should, because all of a sudden I tripped on one of those freestanding signs that says something like, "Be careful, floor is wet." Now you may laugh. I understand that the cleaners come round, and if there's a spillage, someone's dropped an ice cream, they mop it up, and then they put the sign there so that someone won't slip on the tiles. I understand that. But guess what? I discovered the sign had been there all day and the floor was dry. Anybody done that? Yeah. The question I ask is this. What did we do before this stupid system came in? Well, the cleaner, she would mop the floor, then she would dry it. Simple. It's an irrelevant change. Totally irrelevant. And the writer to the Hebrews explains that truth does not change. It is not irrelevant. Jesus Christ, thanks for choosing that song today, Colin, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday. The gospel message you heard in the past, your lives, the gospel message you heard yesterday, however many years your yesterday might be, from those who taught you, does not change. He's the same yesterday, going right back to creation when Jesus was in the triune Godhead. It says, if you read it, in Genesis 1:26, it says, "Let us, plural, make God in our image." Has that changed? That's history. Has it changed? No. All through the Old Testament, which these men would have been very familiar with, these people receiving this letter to the Hebrews, they would have been very familiar with it. All through the Old Testament, the story of God's people, and leading right up to Christ, Jesus Christ coming into the world. Has any of that changed? When Jesus was born, and we celebrated yesterday with a great celebration at the moment. They did a skit out here about Jesus when he was born. But he was born to the Virgin Mary. Has that changed? No. His 3-year ministry on earth, teaching and preaching, has that changed? The forgiveness of sin, his love for man, his salvation plan, his death and resurrection. And so it goes on and on. Has that changed? No, no, no. Now, today's society may have different approaches in communicating that gospel message, yet the message, the person of Christ, who is the message? Did you get that? The gospel, the person of Christ, Christ is the message. He is the message, is exactly the same as he always was. He hasn't suddenly changed. He hasn't changed his mind. He's not all of a sudden not going to forgive sins. He hasn't all of a sudden changed anything. He's not going to stop loving mankind. Amen? Amen. His character hasn't changed. In fact, his character is flawless. He wouldn't be God if it wasn't. Hallelujah. I can see some young people here this morning are thinking, oh, what's he going on about? But some people more mature, as we get to the end of our lives, we appreciate hanging on to something solid. Something that never changes. And today, if you're being tempted to move those goalposts, first ask yourself this important question. Has the person that came into my life, however long ago it was when you met Christ, has that person changed? Today. If Christ hasn't changed, and is the same today, as the writer says he is, what is he doing on our behalf right now? It's a good question, isn't it? What's he doing right? Well, he's not physically walking the streets like he did 2,000 years ago. However, here's where he is with us in power, through the Holy Spirit indwelling in you and me. That's today. That's, he lives in us. We are part of his body, the church. I'm so glad when we meet people and they say, where do you meet for your church? And I say, we meet in the old house, in the basement of this house where we're meeting now. But that's not a church. The building at the top is not a church. We're the church. And so he lives in the church, you and I. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a lovely promise from Jesus to his disciples for the first time in which they continue to, for the time in which they are going to continue after his death and resurrection. For all of the time that they're going to live and breathe on earth, he says to them this. That's there today, by the way. And you're one of them. I'm one of them. in John 14:15-21, and we'll focus on verses 15 and 16 in particular. He says, "If you love me, you will obey my command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." The counselor. There's a gap there for you to write parakletos in there. That's parakletos. The one who comes alongside you and comforts you. Parakletos, yes. You got it? The Holy Spirit comes alongside you, Randall, and he says, "Let me walk with you. Let me dwell with you." Fantastic. Fantastic. That's what Christ is doing today. Are you lonely? Are you in need of comfort? Perhaps you need building your life once again. And your life simply isn't going the way it should. It's not as easy as you think to live the Christian life, is it? But Jesus says, "Call on me. I'm here today. Call on me. I want you to," he says. He's ever present to help you through your difficult times. He's constantly giving grace and mercy and power to live as Jesus Christ did. He said he would build his church, and that's exactly what he's doing. The church that you and me, as I've said before, has been, is now, and is forever. What else is he doing in the present that has changed us? The word tells us that today he represents us in the presence of God. A high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, because he himself was tempted and yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. Christ tells us in Hebrews 7:25, it tells us that he is sitting in the presence of God, interceding for you and me. Wow. Do you realize that every time you do something wrong, every time you commit sin, Christ is saying, "He's up there praying for you." That you recognize it. Thanks, Philip, for telling us about this, Philip. Yeah, thanks this morning for reminding us. But Christ is there praying for us, interceding for us with the Father. What a comfort. What an assurance. What a joy. And then forever, Colin sang that song, "Forever God is faithful, forever God is true. His love endures forever." Hallelujah. In Matthew 28, Jesus concludes his mission challenge to the church with the words, "And lo, I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age." Matthew 28:20. That's a transition, if you like, from yesterday and today into the future. Please don't get me wrong, but this is a particular pet hate of mine, because I hear politicians say it a lot, looking forward. I prefer to say into the future. Looking something else. In Hebrews 13:8, it's as though the writer is summing up the past and the present. And in doing so, he's looking forward to the future. The truth of the past, in all that Jesus is, has done, and is doing, is eternal. Hallelujah. And then looking ahead, when we arrive in heaven and are with Jesus, is this suddenly going to change then? I don't think so. Of course not. the last verse of our founder, A.B. Simpson, in that hymn, Yesterday, Today and Forever, reads as this. I'm not going to sing it, I'm just going to read it. As of old he walked among us, with them to abide. So through all life's ways he walketh, ever near our side. Soon again we shall behold him, that's when we get to heaven. Hasten, Lord, the day. In other words, bring it on. Bring it on. Want to get to heaven. Want to be with Jesus. But 'twill still be this same Jesus as he went away. The same Jesus that ascended into heaven in view of the disciples is going to be the same Jesus that you and I meet. Amen? When we are and in Thessalonians, Paul tells us that on that day, those who are left will meet him. Those will meet him with those who are in the grave. Will meet him in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord, the same Lord that ascended in front of the disciples' eyes. There may not be anyone here today that's been tempted to return to Jewish ways. But on the other hand, there may be some here today, in this place right now, actually wondering or questioning God, if God still cares. You were saved and you turned your back on sinful things to walk with Jesus. And then suddenly, you look over your shoulder, you take a glimpse of your past, and you're tempted to return to your old ways. If you are, for whatever reason, and it's usually the devil tempting you, being drawn back to your old ways, remember the one solid foundational truth you can rely on is this. God never changes. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful that you are faithful. What you say you will do, you will do. Who you are is who you are. Your plan from before the foundation of time is the same today and will be the same forever. Lord, that's good to know. That's an assurance that I have in my very soul. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that can identify with those Jews that were being tempted to go back. If there's anyone here that actually did go back and needs to reinvest or be reconnected with your master plan, Lord, I pray that they would come before you and realize that you love them, that you forgive them, and that you want to fellowship with them. Now and forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We'll sing the final song. We'll sing that new song, The Bread That Is Broken. Well, let's sing. We'll just sing once through Dennis, so we won't repeat verse one. Okay, so.
Many hearts are hungry tonight. Many trapped in darkness yearn for the light. And many who are far from home, and many who are lost, Oh Lord, your wounded children need the power of your cross. This bread that is broken, use our love. This wine that is poured out, a willing sacrifice. The power of Father, is the love of Christ. This bread that is broken, Lord, use our love. Help us to begin where we are. Help us love the people near to our hearts. Give our eyes a mission field wherever you may go. Oh, love the world through each other until we have them all.
Him who is able to keep you from falling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, in glory, majesty, power, and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, for all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. If you could just be seated for the moment before we should have the communion.